Ramban Parsha Shoftim. So the first part of the Parsha talks about the mitzvah of Minui Shoftim. Shoftim is Shotrim Titin L'chal B'chal Sharech. You have to appoint judges and Shotrim. Those are like kind of like police officer type people. They're the ones who enforce the laws. B'chal Sharech. So the Ramban says that Shoftim refers to real Dayanim. That means those with official smicha, not the kind of smicha we get today, but the real kind of smicha that you had to be in Eretz Yisrael and ish mi pi ish. So today we don't have that kind of smicha, and therefore the mitzvah of minui shoftim does not apply at all. There is no mitzvah of minui shoftim today because we don't have real dayanim. And he says the mitzvah of lefneim below lefnei hadyotos doesn't apply because everybody's hadyotos. So, and the fact, that famous thing of Shlichus Hayu, that which we, the fact that a Beis Din today has any power, it's from the concept called Shlichus Hayu, that we're doing the Shlichus of the people with real smicha, who used to live, that's only a Din Rabbanan, he says. So there's no mitzvah min haTorah of Minui Shoftim at all. However, back in the day there was, and there was, he says, there was a, it's based on Gemara and Hari, is that there was, every city had their Beis Din, but plus there was one Beis Din in charge of the Shevet, and that was really like a high-level Beis Din. There was, of course, the Beis Din HaGadol, you know, in the Lishkas HaGazis. Other than that, every Shevet had their chief Beis Din. So, if you live in town A, you can't, you and your friend, you live in town A, you can't tell your friend, I want to go to the Beis Din in town B. No, you have to go to the Beis Din in town A. There's nothing special about town B, and even if you think there is, too bad. Can't force someone to go to a Beis Din and not in your town. However, if you say you want to go to the Beis Din of the Shevet, that you can force someone to go to the Beis Din of the Shevet, because those were the higher level Shoftim were in the Beis Din of the Shevet. That's number one. Number two, that Beis Din had power in that they could make up Gzeiras. Really, you know, usually the concept of making up a Gzeira by a Beis Din, that's not your local three-person Beis Din type concept. But the Ramban says, you know, we know the Beis Din HaGadol, you know, the Sanhedrin, the real Sanhedrin can, in the Lishkas HaGazis, they can make the Rabbanans. So he says the Beis Din of the Shevet could also make the Rabbanans for their Shevet. That's very interesting. That means it's a real Beis Din HaGadol for that Shevet. And he adds that any Beis Din that has a suffix about what the din is, they have to go to the higher Beis Din. Who's that? That's the Beis Din of that Shevet. That's where they go next. Okay, next. Then it says, "Alsita lecha asherah kaleitz." You're not allowed to plant an asherah tree. That's in Pasha says it's an avodah zarah tree. So now the Ramban says that an asherah tree here means not something you use to worship avodah zarah. Even if you plant a tree by the mizbeach to make it look pretty, or to indicate to people that here's a mizbeach. That's also an Isser Daraisa, because that was the way the Avodah Zarah used to do. They would have a tree in front of their Avodah Zarah, and they would use that to tell people to come here for Avodah Zarah. And the next pasuk, Lo Sakim Lecha Matzeva, so that's similar, that you can have, we know Rashi, we're familiar with Rashi, it's this one stone instead of a Mizbeach made of many stones. So that's also Nisa Daraisa. In other words, the Ramban says that the Knanim who were Shtufim b'Avodah Zarah, this is what they would do in all their Avodah Zarah houses. They'd have the tree and this Matzeva. Not to, he says, to offer Karbanos on. The priest would stand on this stone to tell people, come here, you know, join us in our Avodah Zarah. And the tree would be a way of telling people this is a base of Avodah Zarah. So therefore doing that near him, in the house of Hashem or near a Mizbeach, that's an Issa D'Oraisa, because that's what the Knanim specifically used to do for their Avodah Zarah. It's interesting, he says the Christians have this today too, this tree and stone that's just to stand on. I'm not familiar with that, but okay. Then he kind of does some translating for us. He says a Mizbeach is, we know, a bunch of stones, and it has chronos, like corners, and a yesod, and a sovev, and you stand on the yesod to bring the karbanos. Matzeva, we know, is the one stone. But here's the interesting one, the bama. He says the bama is a mound. It's like a har, he writes. It's like a mountain. Not a mountain, but it's the bama that you're makriv on a bama. That's not the mizbeach, because the mizbeach is on the bama. It's like we're used to calling a mizbeach, a bama type of mizbeach, a personal mizbeach. So he says it's like a mountain. A bama gedola is a big mountain that you put a mizbeach on top of. then we have that a person is supposed to listen to the Beis Din HaGadol, the Sanhedrin HaGadol, even if they tell you, Yamin Shem Sol, Mashmol Sol Yamin. So the Ramban explains that this means, even if you're 100% sure that they're wrong, you still have to follow what they say. And his lashon is, you'll say, don't say to yourself, how can I eat chalev? Or kill someone who doesn't deserve to be killed. Rather, you say, this is what Hashem said, to follow the Beis Din HaGadol, that's what I'm going to do. And he says, similar to the case of Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel and Yom Kippur. Well, that case is talking about, has to do with Kiddush HaChodesh. So, the case of Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua is not exactly like a case of Chalev. The case of Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel is based in, when they, there's a drasha that when based in our Kaveh HaChodesh, that's when it is, it doesn't matter if they're wrong. Like, they can be wrong, and that it doesn't matter, that becomes the halacha. It's not exactly the same by chalev. I mean, if Beis Din makes a mistake, they do have to bring a carbon. That's not the case by doing the wrong day of the holiday. Whenever Beis Din is kaveya, the new moon, that's when it is, and that's it. Afilu mutin, if they make a mistake. The case of chalev, it's not exactly like that. If they say to eat something that's chalev, and it turns out they're wrong, there is a carbon to be brought, so it's not like it's okay. Not the same thing. But anyway, so he says you're supposed to follow the Beis Din, and the Beis Din HaGadol in Yerushalayim, in the Beis HaMikdash. And he says this is a very important need because not, you know, people are not always going to disagree. You have to have one defining body deciding what to do. So that's why this mitzvah is so important. Okay, and then we have the mitzvah to appoint a king. It says, Som tasim alecha melech ha-sheivcha Hashem lekecha. So you should appoint a king that I, Hashem, will choose. That means through a Navi. Mikaravachacha tasim alecha melech. And you should appoint a Jew, not a Nachri. So the Rabban asks like that, what? Why do I have to say that? You just got through, I should appoint a king that the Navi's going to appoint. So you don't need to tell me who I need to appoint. Don't appoint a guy. Shkayach. You told me I have to ask a Navi. Hashem's going to appoint a guy. Like, what? You don't even... I mean, Ramban just asked that Hashem surely wouldn't appoint a guy. It's like, really, you'd think more than that. I don't even have to worry about who I'm appointing. I'm appointing whoever Hashem said. Just told me I should ask the Navi who to appoint. So Ramban says, because it's talking about two cases. First case talking about assuming you have a Navi to speak to, so then do whoever the Navi says, which is how Hashem chooses. If there is no Navi around, you have to figure it out yourself. Don't appoint a Nachri. Then he says, Alder Chapshat, a very interesting pshat. He says, when it says, Som Tasim Alecha Melech, Asher Yivchar Hashem Alkecha, it's stating a fact that if you, when you appoint the king, it will be the one that God wants, meaning God runs who becomes king. It's not like, oh, we had a, he took over, he was so powerful, we got messed over. No, you get messed over. Hashem decides who's going to be king. Like he quotes the Chazal and Bava Basra that even the Reishgar Tukuta, the guy in charge of irrigating the fields, that's also Min HaShemayim. Anyone who has any position of power, Hashem put them there for whatever reason. So, Som Tzim Alecha Melech, Asher Yivchar Hashem Lekecha, it'll be Hashem who put him there. Doesn't mean you shouldn't try to get rid of him if he's a bad guy or whatever. But it means you should know that it's not Hefker, it's the world. If Hashem put him there, it's because Hashem had a cheshbon to put him there. And similarly, he says, when it says you should build the Beis HaMikdash, Mokam Asher Yivchar Hashem Lekecha Bo, wherever you build it, it'll be the place Hashem wants it. Because Hashem will make it out that it'll be in the right spot. Then it warns the king that he shouldn't have too many horses and he shouldn't bring the nation back to Mitzrayim. Leman har bosus. So, is that a repeat? The Ramban says, no. First of all, he should not have a lot of horses, period. Meaning, he shouldn't have too big, sounds like he's saying he shouldn't have too big of an army. Because he has to trust in Hashem. And then besides that, lo yashiv es am Mitzrayimite. So in other words, the first case is, let's say you could buy horses from who knows where, I don't know, anywhere other than Egypt. Don't have too many horses. King shouldn't have too many horses. Secondly, don't take the nation back to Mitzrayim, Man Har Bosus. And why are we so against having people in Mitzrayim? Because we already told us we don't want a lot of sus. So and then it's Hashem said, and don't bring people to Egypt to go get yourself goods, I guess, Man Har Bosus. What's so bad about Mitzrayim? So he says, the Ramban, that the reason is, like the Pasuk says, Kamaisi Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yishavte Lo Sasu, Kamaisi Eretz Kanan, like those were the worst of the worst. They were the biggest Rishayim. So we don't want you being anywhere near Mitzrayim. And the Kananim, you know, Lo Sachaya Bo Kol Neshama. So you're going to live in Eretz Yisrael, so you have to wipe them out. And the Mitzrayim, don't go there. So we shouldn't learn from them. And then we say about the king, it says, that the king should not have too much gaiva over the populace. And the Ramban says this is a remnant to the general issue of gaiva, that a person's not allowed to have gaiva, not just the king. The king's just an example of someone who's right to have gaiva. Certainly someone else who's not right to have gaiva, a person should not have gaiva. Because you should know Hashem is running the world and he's nothing. The Kedula is all for Hashem. Okay. Okay, then we have in beginning of Perek Yud Ches, Rashi explains this Sifri that says the Kohanim won't have a Nachla, Nachla lo yeh zu Nachla shar, Bekerav achav zu Nachla zayin. So Rashi explains, what does that mean? That everything from Eivor HaYarden and on is the Eretz of the five nations. The other side, Shalsich and Anod, is Shnei Amimin, that's Amori and Knani, and Nachla Sher is the Rabbos, Keni, Knizi, and Kanmoni. Then he brings Rabbi Kolomenis, who has another pshat. Anyway, his pshat is that the Nachla's five Amimin are the Knani, Chiti, Amori, Chivi, and Yivusi. Like it says in the Pasuk. Vayakivi, Achashem, Alert, Knani, Achiti, Amori, Vachivi, Vayivusi. Those are the Iker nations of Eretz Yisrael, five of the seven. That were the Iker part of Klal Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, rather. Again, that pasuk says, "List the name: Kanan, Chiti, Amori, Chivi, Yevusi, Asher Nishba, Lavasech, Losas, Loch, Eretz Avos, Chalav, Devash." And only those five are part of Eretz Avos, Chalav, Devash. The other two, that is the Prizi and Girgashi, their land is not considered Zavos, Chalav, Devash, and it's not Chayiv in Bikurim. He says, it's saying by the Levim that they won't get the Iker Nachla, and not also the extra one from those other two nations. Okay, then we have a very interesting, important Ramban about magic. So the Torah tells us you can't be, you have to lay matzi b'cha, maver b'no b'ita b'eish, kosing tzomim, me'one menachash m'chashim. You can't be a m'chashim, you can't do magic. How does magic work? So we all know the word kishuf comes from makhishim pamaya shamala. They're makish, they break, ruin for, I don't know, you know, ruin the Pamalia Shamaya. They go against the Pamalia Shamaya. What exactly does it mean to go against the Pamalia Shamaya? So the Ramban explains that the way Hashem set up the world is that there are, the stars and the moons are set up in a way that when they are in a certain position, they affect the world. I mean, we can all agree on the moon affecting the tide, right? When the moon, it's a full moon, it affects the tide, like they're, I don't know if exactly that's a good example, but conceptually it's a good example, where when the moon is a certain way, it affects this earth. That's a completely physical thing. I don't remember exactly how it works, but, you know, to the naked eye, it's something non-physical, you know, but that's the idea. When the stars are in certain positions, they affect things on this earth. So the Ramban says, those stars and constellations, which is where astrology comes from, that when they're in a certain position, it does a certain thing, and it should mean a certain thing. So there are malachim on top of those that are giving it its power to do, that's my understanding, giving it its power to do what it does. So, Hashem put in the Bria that, I'm just going to tell you the way I understand it. The way I understand it, if you remember, if any of you ever played video games when you were a kid, so there was always, or arcade games, there was always like, you know, certain people knew secret moves. If you put the joystick left, right, up, down, you know, it did a secret thing, it would make the character do whatever. It sounds like something like that, like magic is something like that, that Hashem put it in the Bria, meaning the guy who made the software for the arcade game or whatever, the video game, they put it in that if you press up, up, down, down, left, right, whatever, it'll, you know, do this other thing that was like put in the Bria. So similarly, you know, somewhat of a mashal, when Hashem created the world, so he put the stars and the moons that they should have the effect that they naturally have, and that's a thing that never changes. The stars move in their thing, and they have a neshama, a malach in charge of them. But if you do a certain haktara and you write a certain shame when the mazel is in a certain place, so then through that you cause the malach to change what that star does. And then, so when, if you do that certain haktara, you offer a certain whatever offering, and you write the shame of the malach and whatever it is, So then Hashem put in the Bria that will make it that bad things will happen or good things will happen depending on whatever the Kishuv is. That's Kishuv, and that's why it's Makhishim Pamalia Shamala, because it's not the normal way things are supposed to be. Things are supposed to be a certain way, and you're being Makhishish. You're changing the way nature is supposed to normally operate, even though Hashem put it in the Bria that it works, but you're not supposed to do that. So it's not Hashem put it in the Bria because sounds like Hashem needs to sometimes play with the Bria without making a Nes. Hashem doesn't want to make Nisim, so he puts certain things in that you can change the way the world is without making a Nes. So I think that's what he meant. But people aren't supposed to do that. He says it's like the Isser Kilayim. So, you know, Kilayim, you know, you can make a nectarine or whatever. You can make different kinds of Brias by doing Kilayim. You're not supposed to. The world is supposed to work in its regular way, and you're not supposed to mess with that. So it's similar to the Isser Kilayim. It's changing the way the natural world will work. You're not supposed to do that. And that's the Isser of Kishuv, that Machishim Pamal Yishamala. That was a very important Rabban, I thought. Then he adds that Rabbim Yischastu Benachashim. Many were big Hasidim with Nichush to say that it's baloney. That the whole thing of knowing the future and magic and all this stuff is not true. Because there's this thing that, like he mentions, that certain a raven can know what the future is, and based on their voice you can tell, or based on how they move their wings you can tell something. How would a raven know that? So the Rambam, of course, is the one who says that it's not true, that it's not real. But the Rambam holds that they are all real. And he brings Brias from Gemara that it's these things are all real, and they may not be mutter, but they're all real. Okay, then we have in Pasuk Chaf, it says someone who says Nevius, and he's making it up. He's a Navi, but he's making up stuff that is saying Hashem said something and he didn't. And the Pasuk says Vashe Yedaber B'Shem Elohim Achrayim, or if he says something in the name of other gods. So Rashi quotes, Afilu kivines ha'alacha, even if he was mechavin to the halacha, la'asur sa'asur la'hatir sa'mutr. Still, that guy is misasa b'chenek, because Hashem didn't tell him that. And certainly, he's saying it b'shem Elohim acherim, sorry. That's, if he says it in the name of other gods, la'asur sa'asur mutr, la'hatir sa'mutr, so he's still misasa b'chenek. In other words, he's telling you to do good things, he's just saying it b'shem other gods. So that's misasa b'chenek. So the Ramban clarifies, he says, if somebody comes and says, I saw in a dream, and the idol Peor told me that we're supposed to keep the mitzvah of lulav, that is not misasa b'chenek. And if he says that the idol Peor told me we should go worship him, that's a different pasuk. That's the Navi who's misnavi b'shem of, to go worship Avodah Zarah. That's not what this pasuk is talking about. Rather, this is talking about if the guy says that the Peor is the Lord, and he commands us to not eat treif, or to keep, to take a lulav. That's this pasuk. That's what it's saying. If the Navi comes and says, this Avodah Zarah told me, the Avodah Zarah, who is the one in charge, he told me to keep lulav, so then that's the misasa b'chenek. But, there's the, I guess the more important part, that if the guy says that Peor told me that we're supposed to keep lulav, meaning that Hashem says to keep lulav, that's not the misasa b'chenek. It's when he's saying Peor is the God and we are supposed to do Peor's mitzvos, and he tells us to do lulav. That's what this pasuk is talking about. Okay, then we have the mitzvah of listening to the Navi, which I'm just agav the Ramban and explaining to Rashi. Bring us down. How do you know who's a Navi who you're supposed to follow? We have a mitzvah to follow. That's someone who is muchzik lanu, to be a very special person, not just that he does a miracle and he says he's getting nevuah, but someone who's known to be a very special, holy, holy person. And he says that, and he makes a sign to show that he's telling that he's a Navi Hashem. So you listen to someone like that, even if it's possible, you know, maybe he's faking us, maybe he's not a Navi, but okay, he says the same thing like two Edom. You don't know, maybe two Edom are lying too. Have to go with the chazakah of people. If this person, you find a person who's known as a super tzaddik, and he does an osin a mofis, and he says Hashem sent him, then you have a mitzvah to listen to. Okay. There's the mitzvah later of to make the Ari Miklat. So it says that you're supposed to make 9 of them. So, what are the 9? They're the 3 in Eivrei Yarden, 3 in Eretz Canaan, and 3 Lasid Lavos. The Ramban just points out, there's no mitzvah in the whole Torah, other than this one, that's for only Lasid Lavo. This is it. The building of the three, the last three, Ari Miklat, for the time when Mashiach comes, Lasid Lavos, that's the only mitzvah in the Torah, that's only for when Mashiach comes. Okay, then we have that it says if you if there is a murderer in your town, so you have to kill him. And don't feel bad about it. If you have to dama makir mi Israel, betovlach, and it'll be good for you. Interesting, so the Ramban says tovlach means ki bir hadam hanaki mitzvah. So you have to it's a mitzvah to kill the person who was a murderer. Betova gedol alach latza nafshecha mimavis, and this is a very good tova for you. To protect you, ki rachmanos al harotzchem, having rachmanos on murderers, is shvichas damim midei harotzchem, umidei acherim hamispartzim. So, not killing someone who is a murderer is like being a murderer yourself, mitzad the rotzeach, and mitzad the others who will learn that they can get away with it. Okay, then we have in Pasuk Yitzchas, this is in Parak Yitzchas, it says, v'darsha shoftim heitev, we have the concept of Eidim Zomimin. So Beis Din should look into it well, and if they find out that Eid Sheker Eid, so then, meaning that they're Eidim Zomimin, they should kill them. So the Rabban explains how you're supposed to know last time you met Eidim Zomimin, besides the next Pasuk, Vasisim Lokash Zomim, but how would Beis Din know that these Eidim are liars? Because, what, 2 other people came and said they were liars? 100 other people came and said they were liars? We don't trust that, right? That's two against two is just to cancel each other out. How would you know they're liars? It's only through the concept of Eidim Zomim. And what is that concept? That the second the Eidim Zomim come and say, you Eidim, that you said Reuven killed Shimon, you couldn't possibly have seen that because you were with us on that day in another country. So the reason why they win in that case, as many of us are familiar with and the Rabban explains, is because they're giving testimony on themselves, meaning the Edom Hamazimim are saying that these two Edom said Reuven killed Shimon. They're talking about themselves, and those two guys are not Neman about themselves. Just like if these two Edom come in and say, "You two guys, you're a Mechalel Shabbos," they can't say, "No, we're not. We're two Edom." It doesn't work that way. You're not Neman about what you do or anything like that. So when these, you're Neman about others. So when these two Edom come in and say, "You guys, we're here," they have no namanos about themselves, so that's why these two Eidim win. Which, by the way, makes it sound like it's completely logical, the concept of Eidim Zomim. And the Ramban says in the very next Ramban that it's Xeris HaKosov. So how you put those together, not so clear. Then the Ramban just says something else about Beis Din, that these Eidim Zomim came to save the guy because he must have deserved to be saved. Because if someone deserves to be killed, in other words, let's say two Eidim come in and say Reuven killed Shimon, and therefore he should kill Reuven. And it's baloney. They're total liars. If Beis Din goes ahead and kills Reuven, it must be Reuven deserved to die. Meaning, because he's saying Hashem wouldn't let the Holy Sanhedrin mess up like that. So even if they messed up in the actual case in front of them, or it wasn't their fault maybe, but they ended up killing someone because two Edom came in and said Reuven killed Shimon, and they followed all the rules, Hashem wouldn't let something bad like that happen to them if the guy was innocent. So Edom Zomim would have came. But if it did happen, that means the guy deserved to die. Maybe for some other reason, but he deserved to be killed. That's what it says. Ki ha-mishpat elokim hu, v'kerev elokim yishpot. Hashem is there. That's what it means. Hashem is there at the Beis Din, and therefore nothing like that would happen to them. Okay, then we have the shotrim. When people go out to war, the shotrim come and say, whoever built a bayis, v'lo chanacho, and whoever was not the kerem v'lo chillelo. What does it mean, not the kerem v'lo chillelo? So one pshat is like Rashi says, you weren't talking about a kerem that you didn't, it didn't reach its fourth year, meaning you didn't have a chance to bring the kerem revai. so that lo chillelo means you weren't mechalal the kedusha of those peros to take the money to Yerushalayim, to Yidin Yerushalayim. And the other one is chillelo, like chalilim, that they would go up to Yerushalayim with praising Hashem with as a party, Kodesh Ilulim Hashem, so that they would bring these fruits to Hashem with Simcha. Like the Ramban has said, the first 3 years of a tree, they really don't grow good fruit anyway. It's the fourth year is when they start growing normal fruit, and that's why that's where there's a concept of Netzer Ravai and Kerem Ravai, that you bring those to Hashem. Okay, now then we have Mihayaris, whoever is afraid, Rachaleva. Afraid of what? So we know the Gemara brings two opinions, Rabbi Yosi Glili and Rabbi Kiri. Rabbi Yosi Glili says he's afraid of his Averos. And Rabbi Kiva says, no, he's just afraid of war. So this guy gets to go home. So the Ramban brings a Yerushalmi that says, you had to bring a proof. You had to bring a proof. At least going to Rabbi Yosi Glili. In other words, if you had to go home because you had a bias or a kerem or an isha, you had to bring a proof that that was true, that you had a bias, a shalocha, nacho, and all that. And if you had averos, the Yerushalmi says, you had to bring a riot of that. Because otherwise, everybody's just going to say, I'm not interested in fighting. Yeah, I got averos, or I got a wife, I got a... You have to bring a proof. Any of this stuff, you have to bring a proof that these are all true, or else you can't go home. That's the Yerushalmi. But that's all according to Rabbi Yosi Glili. According to Rabbi Akiva, what are you going to bring a proof to? It just says you're just a wuss. You're afraid of war. So, you're going to bring a proof that you're afraid of war? Obviously, you're afraid of war. So... that person didn't need to bring a proof. He could just, according to Rabbi Kiva, you just need to just go home if you say you're afraid. And the Ramban just says that according to Rabbi Kiva, if this guy, after the Kohens promised him this is a Mechamas Mitzvah, nothing's going to happen, if he's still afraid, so then he's not having B'tachan in Hashem, and the Nes will not happen to him, because the Nes to protect the Jews only is if you believe that Hashem will, you have B'tachan in Hashem. If you're still afraid, so then you should go home. Okay, then we have another important machlokas, Rashi and Ramban. It says, when you come, kisikra velir, this is in the beginning of Shvi, kisikra velir lehilacham aleha. So you have to, makirasa elah l'shalom. You have to first ask if they want to make peace. So Rashi says that, quotes a Sefri, that this is b'mechemes harashus on a customer d'amr. Only by mechemes harashus. But mechemes mitzvah, meaning when you're conquering Eretz Israel, there's no kriya l'shalom. We have one where it lost a chayek kol b'neshama. That's what's going to happen. There's no kriya l'shalom. That's Rashi's understanding. Now the Girgashi, you know, ran away. But we don't reach out l'shalom to the Shiva Amamin. That's not an option according to Rashi. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says, absolutely yes, we do reach out to everybody. Kriya L'Shalom. There are parts of the things that are only for Mechamas HaRashos, but not this. A Kriya L'Shalom is even for the Shiva Amamin. That means to say, they, if they want, like he says, he quotes the Yerushalmi in Shviyas Vav Aleph, that says, Yeshua sent out letters to everybody, all the nations in Eretz Israel, and said, look, you got three options. You could leave, you could fight us, or you can stay and pay taxes and serve us. So, and it says that the Gagashi left, the Givonim made shalom with them, and the rest went to war. But they all had the opportunity to make peace with the Jews. It was, in other words, Losachaya Kol Neshama was not an absolute. If they would have agreed, if when you sent them shalom, they would say, sure, we'll agree to Lamas Vavaducha, we'll agree to the taxes and to be subservient to you. And if it's in Eretz Yisrael, that's what he said. If in Eretz Yisrael they had agreed to not worship Avodah Zarah, outside of Eretz Yisrael they don't have to agree to worship Avodah. They can still, they don't have to agree to not worship Avodah Zarah, but they would have to agree in both cases to Lamas Vavaducha. And what does that mean? Mas means the taxes, means that they would have to participate in public projects, like if they want to build the Beis Hamikdash or they want to build other things. That's a tax, meaning you work for free, not taxes like we're used to taxes, but taxes you come and work for the government for free. That's Lamas. Vavaducha is that you had to be slaves, but not like the slaves we're used to thinking of, meaning you could force them to, let's say, work in your field, but you have to pay them. So they can't become, I don't know what, lawyers or doctors. If you want them to work in your field, they are forced to work in your field, but you do have to pay them. So anyway, that's Lamas Vavaducha. So if they would agree to that, and if they're in Eretz Yisrael, if they would agree also to not worship Avodah Zarah, they did not have to be killed out. And that was the story with the Givonim. They pretended they were from a faraway land, and they were not. And so they didn't. They made a bris with them, and they shouldn't. It wasn't supposed to be a bris, and that's why Yeshua cursed them. Okay, then later on we have Kisetzer earlier, when you laid siege to a city, So lo sashke say say tell them doach leagards and don't chop down the fruit trees. Okay, so he brings the Ibn Ezra, says that he can't do it at all. But he says, the Rabban says, based on the Gemara Bava Kama, Daf Tzadi Aleph Amud Beis, you are allowed to cut down trees, even fruit trees, to help with the siege. And it's just saying, if you have a Ilan Srak, then don't chop down a fruit tree. But whatever you need to do, you can chop down for the siege. But he says, like, the minig of armies was just to destroy things just for fun or just whatever, because they thought they wouldn't win. So they would just try to destroy everything. That you're not allowed to do. Because you will win. You're Klal Yisrael, you're going to conquer Eretz Yisrael. But you're allowed to chop down what you need, just not what you don't need, and only use an Ilan Meichel if you can't find an Ilan Srak. Okay, then finally we have the Egla Arufa. So that is, you have to bring it to a Nachal Eisan, which is a hard land that was never worked. So the Ramban just adds that the Chazal say it's not just that it never worked, you can't work it. Once you do Egla Arufa there, it can never be worked forever. What's the purpose of this? So the Ramban brings that, he brings from the Ibn Ezra, that if this want to happen to the people, you know, what is this the business of the closer people who live close to the city? So they have to bring this type of carbon, because if they didn't do something wrong, this wouldn't have happened. And it's something, it's a sign from Hashem that something bad is, they're culpable for something, even if they didn't do it themselves, but something's bad in that city and they need to do tshuva. But he quotes the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, who says that the purpose of Egla Rufa is to find out who the murderer is. Because when you have this whole ceremony, so then people are going to be talking about it nonstop, and then through that we'll be able to find out who the murderer is. And he quotes a Chazal that says, if even a lady can't be an aid. If a lady says, this guy's the Rotzeach, I found the Rotzeach, he's the Rotzeach, we don't do the Egla Rufa case. We don't do the Egla Rufa ceremony. So you see that the whole purpose is to find out who the murderer is. And this way, once we found out the murderer, so then Beis Din or the Melech or the Gaol Adam will kill her. Will kill the person, rather. The murderer. And the Ramban just explains this, doing the whole, what's the tachlis of the ceremony. He says it's similar to the Kabbalistic concept he explained by the Sir Mishtaleach and the Paraduma. This is like karbanot, the groups of karbanos, they're na'as in b'chutz. Somehow that takes away the tumah by offering a carbon type thing outside the Beis HaMikdash. However that works, I'll pick up a ball.